Hello and welcome to FGM TV on August the 14th, 2001. I'm Susan Mitchell. In the news this week, Chinese authorities extend their violent ways to Toronto, which has prompted Falun Gong practitioners to ask the Canadian government to expel visiting Chinese official Dong Yiming, citing breaches of the Criminal Code of Canada. Photos from SOS tours worldwide to gather support for rescuing practitioners in China. The Sunda labor camp is in the news again, with 130 Falun Gong practitioners on a hunger strike to protest their sentences being extended for no reason. Inclement weather over parts of China, where authorities have brutalized practitioners. Stories of what goes around comes around. No ordinary murder. A young teacher is shot to death by police in Chengdu City. And how one village in China very creatively meets its quota of brainwashing Falun Gong practitioners without compromising human goodness. First of all, in international headlines this week, the Chinese government pressures the Russian government to ban Falun Gong. No decision has yet been announced by the Russian government. At a Toronto news conference on August the 10th, the Falun Dafa Association of Canada, representing Falun Gong practitioners in Canada, requested and insisted that the Canadian government in the future refuse entry to Chinese officials involved in the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners. This includes Chinese President Jiang Zemin, the head officials of national and local branches of the 610 office, the Public Security Department, the State Security Department, the Police Bureau, and the Appeal Bureau. The 610 offices were set up centrally in all provinces, as well as in each city and town, on June 10, 1999, the 10th day of the sixth month, for the sole purpose of the systematic and brutal crackdown on Falun Gong. The Falun Dafa Association of Canada, along with Canadian citizens Ms. Jinyu Li and Mr. Shui-Yer Zhu, also urged the Canadian government to remove and or charge Chinese official Dong Yiming, currently visiting Canada. Mr. Dong Yiming, as the department chief of the Appeal Processing Office of China's National Appeal Bureau, is directly responsible, instrumental, and complicit for the systematic murder, torture, persecution, and illegal labor camp internment of thousands of Falun Dafa practitioners in China. It is both his duty and responsibility to ensure that the National Appeal Bureau manage, direct, and oversee citizen appeals in accordance with the Constitution related to laws and regulations. Mr. Dong Yiming and other such officials' entry into Canada is a clear breach of Section 19 of the Immigration Act, and his actions are a criminal offense under Section 7.3.1 of the Criminal Code of Canada, constituting crimes against humanity. We would like to show you some footage of a rather disgraceful incident that took place in Toronto. Practitioners around the world have taken to the streets and the highways with an SOS to increase public awareness of the plight of imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners in China. Here are some of the images from Coventry, England, cities in Midwest USA, Indiana, Ohio, and West Virginia, and some rain in Houston, and a recent march in Hong Kong, where the practice is still legal, although the government is under pressure from mainland Chinese authorities to curb activities. Some 130 practitioners of Falun Gong are on a hunger strike while being illegally held in the Masanja labor camp of Liaoning Province, China. This is according to a security officer familiar with the camp's affairs. The strike has already passed the 15-day mark. The protest was set off by camp authorities' failure to release the Falun Gong practitioners at the end of their terms. Last October, it was reported that camp officers stripped naked 18 female Falun Gong practitioners and threw them into the cells of male convicts, where they suffered inhuman and totally degrading abuse. The fact that 130 Falun Gong practitioners are on a hunger strike to protest their extended captivity suggests two things, according to Falun Gong spokesperson Ms. Feng Yuan. This means that the Masanja camp has failed in its attempt to brainwash and break these practitioners, who have each weathered over a year of a sentence in this camp. This is the true determined face of Falun Gong. Yuan added that secondly, holding the practitioners longer tells of the Chinese government's greatest fear that the steadfast persons might reveal to the outside world the true horrific conditions of the Masanja camp. Such a disclosure would further rupture the image of the camps Chinese authorities have tried to create through staged show tours. We believe that good deeds will be rewarded with good and evil deeds will be punished. What goes around comes around. Recently, many natural disasters have occurred in China where authorities have brutally persecuted Falun Gong practitioners. On August the 7th, there were heavy thunderstorms over parts of Shanghai. Ear-deafening thunderbolts were heard, and the downpour was extremely heavy. A continuous series of rainstorms assailing Shanghai before this had already flooded many areas. The heavy thunderstorm today aggravated the flood and left many roads and low-lying residential areas of Shanghai covered in water. The continual thunderstorms raging over Shanghai these few days were rare occurrences in the last 52 years. The Lujiaping pumping station in Huangpu District estimated that the average water level of rainfall from 2 p.m. on August the 5th until 2 p.m. on August the 6th to be about 1 foot, which is very high for a time span of just 24 hours. Many police officers who have been particularly vicious in their treatment of Falun Gong practitioners have suddenly died. For instance, in Changchun, Wang Jingfan, a male, 45, was the deputy general secretary of the Chongqing Street Administrative Office in the city of Changchun. Shen Yanping, a 43-year-old man, was the deputy general secretary of the Lishan Street Administrative Office, and Zhao Qingyi, a 38-year-old, was the head of the Yongcheng Street Administrative Office. Meng Shanqi, a 50-year-old man, was the deputy chief of the Chaoyang District Organizational Department. Since July the 20th, 1999, these four individuals have devoted most of their time to persecuting Falun Gong practitioners. On July the 30th, 2001, at around 1 p.m., they rode together from Changchun to the city of Jilin to attend a training class. When they were at the 18th kilometer marker of the Changchun freeway, the driver lost control of the car. The car rolled over several times and was totaled. Three people died and one was seriously injured. A 31-year-old woman teacher was shot to death by police from Chengdu City on the night of June the 28th. Xu Jilian was a graduate of Chengdu Teachers Institution, and she taught at the Fuqin Elementary School before her murder. She had been the recipient of several awards for excellence in teaching, including the Outstanding Teacher Award and the Third Tier Award at the National Language Teachers Model Essay Competition, both in October of 1999, as well as the Award of Excellence at the Xinhua Cup Primary and Secondary School Teachers Dissertation Contest, held in 2000 by the Xu Teli Educational Research Institute. Throughout history, the deaths of people who have led very pure and spiritual lives have often exhibited unusual manifestations that defy the laws of medical science. Xu Jilian was a devoted practitioner of Falun Gong, and the three gunshot wounds in her head continued to bleed for 2 days after her death. When the local governments in Hebei province were once again ordered by Jiang Zemin to do another round of forced quote-unquote re-education of Falun Dafa practitioners, some officials in the town came up with a good idea. They hired some farmers in the local area who had never practiced Falun Dafa and paid them a very good salary of 15 yuan per day to pose as Falun Dafa practitioners and attend the brainwashing class. They asked them to act like real practitioners and to not give in when higher authorities came to do an inspection. But at the end of the class, they were asked to write a letter, which they did, quitting the practice. Thus, the officials could report to the higher authorities that they had met their quota successfully for the number of practitioners, quote-unquote, that had been re-educated into giving up the Falun Dafa practice. They didn't put any real practitioners in the class, so it has become quite a joke in the local area.